because it reaches to the highest mountain.
Oh, and it
flows to the lowest valley. Oh,
it's the blood
that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose.
Everybody sing it with us, would you? Stand it if you don't mind. I was you, I wouldn't miss a service for these next 2 or 3 weeks, because I believe with all I'm saying and thinking that the Holy Ghost is right near descending on this house. And when he descends, it's not going to be just normal. It's going to be beyond normal. It's going to be that which has happened many times through the years, when a people of God, chosen of God, would be faithful, would wait on him, would not deter or defer or be made to doubt or be made to forsake the course and run, but they would stand true and stand faithful and believe the word. And it's all got to be according to the word, and it isn't according to my faith. It's according to Christ's faith, the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's very clear in our Bible. Turn with me one verse of Scripture, my text, in the book of Psalms, division 103. Book of Psalms, division 103. And I will read only one verse from that great text. You can read it all when you get home, because it's breathtaking. It's wonderful. I live by it. But let's look at that one verse that is so powerful and so mighty. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." I hope I said verse 2. Verse 2, Psalms 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Isn't that beautiful? "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Let me read a verse or two in the book of Romans, chapter 8. The book of Romans, chapter 8, and I will read verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them that are called according to his purpose." And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. I want to read one more verse. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the first," or that we, this people he calls, "might be the firstborn among many brethren." That's speaking of Jesus. I'll go back and read again. "To the image of the Son, that Jesus might be the firstborn among many brethren." He wants to be the firstborn among us. He wants us to follow him. He wants us to know the Father as he knew the Father. I'm preaching this morning on a very simple thought, the benefits of God's family. The benefits of my Father's family. How many of you ever thought about all the benefits that are yours as a believer, as a Christian? Have you ever just took the Bible kind of in full context and looked at it and said, now what are my benefits in this Christian life? What do I get? What is mine? What is my property? As a child of the Bible, as a child of God, as a born-again Christian, what do I get? What are my benefits? Do you know that living for Jesus Christ is more beneficial than all this world put together? It's amazing what is ours as believers. You may be seated. Father, add your blessing to the word. Anoint me to preach this morning this wonderful thought with sweet anointing. And let your name be exalted, great God. Let your name be exalted, great God. Now think about it. I want you to get the title of this sermon way down deep inside. I really do. The benefits that you have as a child of God. The benefits that God has ordained for you as a believer, as a Christian, as someone who's taken the Bible and made it the center of your life. Now, these benefits aren't for just the wandering crowd who are in and out of church and have no place of surrender. These benefits will never be enjoyed by someone who's up and down and just can never make up their mind to be an old-fashioned Christian. They're just on the skids, and they're in and out and up and down, and they never will know these benefits. These benefits are for the true and the faithful and the devoted and the surrendered. Will you remember those words? The true, the faithful, the devoted, and to the surrendered. These benefits are for you if you have given it all and just surrendered your life to God. These are your benefits. You have absolute right to them. Nobody can take them away from you. There's not enough devils in hell to take these benefits away from a dedicated believer. There's not enough powers out there and all the enemies of the church that can rob you of all of these benefits that are yours promised in the Bible. I mean, I'm not going to give you a promise this morning that's not bona fide. I'm not going to tell you anything that's not an absolute truth. Seven of them I'm going to talk about. Seven. And I want you to hear them. I want you to memorize them. Take them home with you. The benefits of the Father's family. Hallelujah. That's just a good subject, isn't it? The benefits of the Father's family. And again, I want to repeat, this world doesn't have anything to compare with this. I've been a Christian 67 and a half years, and I know a multitude of people from many different spheres of life. I've met a lot of people in over 20 countries, and I know what's out there. I know what people are doing and not doing, what they're enjoying and not enjoying, and I can tell you with a moment's doubt that nothing on the face of this globe matches a believer in the Bible and in the truth of God. Nothing matches what's yours as a Christian, a genuine Christian now. Not a professing, but a possessing, a person that's given their life utterly to the Lord. Now, I want to deal with these seven things, and I'm going to try to move along swiftly because I want you to take all of them home with you. And the first one is at my top list, my top of the list. I'm telling you, number one, and I can think of nothing that's more wonderful, a conscience void of offense or darkness or benightedness or confusion. A conscience that has been freed of everything this world would pile on top of you. Every offense, every brokenness, every sorrow, every sadness. This Christian life is alive with a conscience. Now, let's talk about the conscience. You got to understand, the conscience is an inner part of you. It's a part of the inner man. It's a part of the spirit that God has put in you. A part of even your soul that represents who you are. Even a part of your physical body by which you relate to this world. God has given his Christian a right to a pure conscience. Are you listening to me? Now please don't take this lightly. A pure conscience is a conscience in which offense has been eliminated. It is a conscience which feels no anger at nobody. It's a conscience that has no sin, that has not been eradicated and removed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a conscience that doesn't have to live in the dread of some sin that might catch up with you. It's a conscience that's free of all of the guilt of the past. It's a conscience that can lay down at night in perfect peace and perfect rest and say, my life is right with God. My life is right with my wife, with my husband. My life is right with the world around me. I am his and he is mine and my conscience is pure. Now think about that. Think about a pure conscience. You know what? Do you know what lives up in Morganton at the insane house? The huge place up there where the insane are having to be kept in cells and in different parts of lockdown and they have no freedom of life. And you go and visit, and I'll guarantee you, if you could know the story of their lives, almost every one of them are there because of guilty conscience, wounded conscience, painful conscience, a mind that's so troubled with so much that's wrong, a mind that's so guilty of so much they have done. But I'm telling you, when you come to Jesus Christ and you become part of the family of God, his blood comes over you and washes you from here down to the bottom of your feet, and you are clean, and you have a clean conscience, and you don't have to be dreadful. You don't have to worry about something catching up with you that you happened a week ago, a year ago, or even 10 years ago. You got a clean conscience. Now think about it. See that, if you don't be careful, you don't even hear what I'm saying. Because if you've never had a clean conscience, you're a troubled person. I mean, this nation is so caught up on drugs, on all kinds of medication, on all kinds of what will help me sleep and what will give me a relaxed moment. The drinking of the booze or the taking of the pill or the shot of cocaine. I mean, drug addiction is exploding all over the world, especially in America. And you can just know that those poor people have a conscience that's got to have something to keep them moving. But when you belong to Jesus, I hope I'm getting through to you on this. Because I can get through to you on this one subject. It'll change your life. You got anything in there that's troubling you, don't carry it any longer. Pile it in this altar and give it to God and let the blood of Jesus wash it away. You got something you've done years ago and you feel guilty with your wife or your husband or whoever, pile it in this altar and pour it out with tears on the altar of God. Let the blood of Jesus wash it away. I'm telling you, you got somebody you're mad at and you're angry with them and you'd like to get them around the throat and choke them. I want to tell you something. It'll choke you more than it'll choke them. But if you'll come to Christ, he'll cleanse it out of you and give you a pure conscience. Hallelujah. Now I want you to raise your right hand with me if you possibly can. And I want you to say, I claim a pure conscience before God in my world. Can you say it out loud? A pure conscience. Don't you, Tohoshabarakale. Lord of offense, Lord God of any man. He's quoting the scripture. Paul said, I make it my constant business to have always a conscience, Lord of offense, Lord God or any man. I'm telling you, there is nothing in the Father's family. There is no benefit that God has promised us and given us. There's no blessing that God has laid on us and poured into our midst any more wonderful than a conscience that's pure and clean and holy before God. Oh, Christy Clubbo, I'm loving this pure conscience that Joe Chambers has. You say, do you deserve it? No, I don't deserve it. The blood came to me by the grace of my blessed Lord and washed away all that guilt. Oh, hallelujah. I can go by my sweetheart's grave and shed a few tears over 62 years and 91 days. And I may wish that I would have done more things for her. And I may wish that I'd taken her more places. But I don't have to worry about some woman I got me involved in and violated the sacred relationship that she and I had with each other. I'm telling you, there's nothing purer than a pure conscience. There's nothing more wonderful than a pure conscience. And that's the first benefit that God offers a repentant sinner. Can you think of anything purer? Brother Marlon, I don't know nothing I love anymore than a pure conscience. And you say, but I did some things that I shouldn't have. I did too. I didn't do what I mentioned a while ago, but I did some things in my life. But way back before I got saved, I was a stinking little kid. Oh, I remember so many things that happened in those early years of my life, and they hurt me, but they're so gone, they've been washed for so long, I barely can remember them, and when I remember them, there's no pain, because the blood has washed away the guilt, the blood has washed away the wounds, the blood has washed away the sorrow. So, a benefit of a child of God is a pure conscience. A pure conscience. You know what? I don't think most people understand this subject. I think I may be over some of your heads. I hope not. I hope it'll get through to you. That you having a pure conscience is something you should never forget to thank God for. How many can tell him right now, thank you, God, for washing my conscience. Thank you, God, for cleaning up my life. Thank you, God, for setting me free of all that mess and all that gloom and all that grief and all that sorrow and all that hurt. Thank you, God. Thank you. Woo! I love him. I love him. I love him. And a pure conscience is so wonderful. Number two, benefit. A benefit of the Father's family. That benefit is you have no business ever being addicted to anything. The sanctifying blood of Jesus Christ will break any addiction you've ever had. People get addicted to lying. They get addicted to gossip. They get addicted to anger. They get addicted to resentment. They get addicted to drugs. They get addicted to tobacco. They get addicted to all kinds of dark and ugly things. But God sent his Son to sanctify you from your head down to your toes and to break every addiction of anything that's ever addicted you. It's a benefit of the faith. Oh, I can't think of anything more wonderful than to be completely free. You know what I'm talking about. Addiction is such a terrible thing out there. One that I see often down at the little store that I stop sometime to get gas and occasionally to get a cola. I don't drink many colas, but once in a while I just get thirsty and I want one. And I, almost every time I got to wait for somebody to buy some lottery tickets. He'll stand a man, and he looks like he's frail, and he's dealing with all the troubles of life, and he buys a lottery ticket because he's dreaming about some cash reward, that he'll have some big pile of money that he can make another big mess out of his life with, and have no idea that what he's addicted to. Thank God I'm not addicted to anything except, you know, the love of God and the joy of salvation and the wonder. You can be addicted to good things, you know that? Oh, hallelujah. So you don't have to be addicted to nothing. Brother Chambers, I've been trying to quit smoking. Anybody? I hope nobody here. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But if you ever been addicted to smoking or something like that, don't put up with it another hour. The sanctifying blood will rip it from your mind and your conscience and your being, and you'll be free. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? You're addicted to whatever you might be addicted to. I mean, you can be addicted to things that are religious. You can be addicted to all kinds of negative or positive things. But addiction is never good. I don't care what you're addicted to, except God. Somebody say amen. So, one of the benefits of God is to sanctify you from head down to toes and break everything that holds you in any kind of bondage. You don't have no right to any bondage. You have no reason to stay under any bondage. You have no reason to be in any kind of situation that holds you in captivity, because the blood of Jesus has not only cleansed your conscience, it has broke that spirit of the old man called Adam. Hallelujah. And you are free from addiction. You don't have to be. You must not be. Don't put up with it. It's nothing but the devil's bondage, and he's laughing at you while he holds you in addiction. You laugh back at him and tell him, I know a redeemer who doesn't only forgive me of my transgressions. He cleanses me from my addictions. Hallelujah. And sets me free. Number two benefit. Is that not wonderful? Think about it. Think about the majority of people you know that claim to be Christians. Watch their addiction life and all the things they're bound to, and bound up in, and bound up with. It's just so sad, and you don't have to be. You can be so free, oh, hallelujah. You can be so clean and free, so forgiven, and so set free of captivities that you can live a wonderful and joyous and happy life. Woo! I'm telling you, sanctification, real sanctification, will probably bring you more joy than anything else that's ever happened in your life. How many people walk in our doors and they come for cleansing and forgiveness of their sins, but they don't know that not only can they be forgiven, but they can be sanctified. They can be set free of the bondages that Satan has erected or effected upon their lives through their years. I'm leaving you with a hope this morning. If you're addicted to something, don't leave here with it. Don't leave here bound by it. Don't leave here with any guilt of it, but come to the Redeemer who will sanctify you and set you free. In fact, you can get it sitting right there. You can get it sitting right there. When you say to Jesus, I've been addicted to this for all these years, if you know the time, I'm repenting of it, and I'm coming to you, and I'm claiming that blood that Jesus spilt on the cross of Calvary to wash not just my guilt, but my addiction. Those are two different things, you know. It is different in being forgiven of your sin and being set free from the powers of the sin nature. The sin nature is in Adam. You were born with that. You're not guilty of anything because you have a sin nature, but that sin nature works bondages and fetters and captivities in your life, and Jesus came to sanctify that old man and to break his hellish power and to make you free of every addiction you might ever feel. Woo! Somebody shout for me. What a life. Well, let's go a little further. The third thing, these are benefits. Oh, I like that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. How long has it been since you just sat down and thought about all the benefits of being a Christian? Now, these are benefits that are yours, but he don't force them on you. Do you understand? See, the Lord God forces nothing on nobody. Everything he does for you, he does when you invite him to do them. And when you believe him to do them. And they're not yours until you receive what God has provided and planned for you. But number three is this wonderful work of the Spirit of God. God doesn't just save you and forgive you of your sins and then sanctify you from the captivity of the old nature. He then offers to fill you with the Holy Ghost and to allow his Holy Ghost to enter into your inner being, into the Spirit of you and baptize you with a spirit right straight from heaven until the Holy Ghost of God is walking and talking in your inner being. And day by day, you're living in the joy and the fruit of righteousness and holiness. If any man thirst, he said, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, I will give him and fill him with rivers of living water. For this spake he of the Spirit, which was not yet given. Hallelujah. These are wonderful truths in the book of John chapter 7. You need to go to them and understand that if you're thirsty, you're saved. And you're thirsty, you're sanctified. And you're thirsty, you still don't have all you want from God. You want something deeper and richer and more wonderful. Then the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the promise of God awaiting you. And he said, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink, and I will give you rivers of living water that course their way out of your soul. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, church, hear me. He wants to sanctify you. Then he wants to fill you with the Spirit of his Holy Spirit until there's rivers. Rivers. You know what? The majority of the church world, they don't have this river. They don't know what this river of living water is all about. Even the good saved people, struggling to live a clean life, struggling to be a good Christian. But the preachers have preached nothing to them about being delivered from the addictions and the bondages. The preachers have preached nothing to them about being full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I want to tell you something. He wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. You say, Brother Chambers, oh, you mean I can have it? I mean, he wants you to have it. You don't have to beg him for it. Just lay everything on the altar. Somebody says, how can I get the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Make Jesus Lord of everything. Make Jesus the Lord of all you are. Make Jesus your every thought, your every desire. Let Jesus work his work of graces in you, and you on your way to being so full of the... Oh, I love it when I think about this blessing, this benefit, that I've got the Holy Ghost to comfort me. That when I'm sad and gloomy, I'll reach up and look up and say, Jesus, I'm thirsty, and here comes a big old water spout of spiritual life and pours into my soul. And before you know it, I'm a dancing and I'm a shouting and I'm a praising God because the benefit of the Holy Ghost is mine. Woo! Somebody say hallelujah. Now, church, number three. One, two, three. You say, Brother Chambers, can I get them all in one? Well, sometimes he does do it that way. But it's usually because somebody that has been really consecrating themselves a long time, and they've come to a place of such surrender, and they come then and find out they can get saved, and they get saved, and they're in the altar getting saved, and it's so good, they said, I want more. And so he just keeps pouring, and they keep drinking, and he keeps pouring, and they keep drinking, he keeps pouring. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, you can have it all at one time. Not many do, and it's okay with me, but I want to tell you, the real truth is you can have it. He wants you to be full of him. You find anybody out there that doesn't know Jesus, and you find them really happy and really full of satisfaction. It just isn't possible. Somebody raise their hand. How many want this way of life? Let me see your hand. You really want it. Are you willing to pay the price? How many of you are willing to give up all you are for all he is? You know, all he lacks in giving you all he is for you to give him all you are. Until you give him all you are, If you're half-hearted and half-baked and you're in and out and up and down, if you come to church every blue moon, you come to church occasionally, I'm telling you something. One of the best evidence you're saved is when you start keeping the Lord's Day holy. Did you hear me? How many know which day is the Lord's Day? Number 7, Monday through Sunday. Sunday is His day. But I got so many things to do, I got to do some of them on Sunday. You don't have to do no such a thing. Every time you take Sunday and use it for this old flesh and to do earthly things, you do understand you're sinning against Him. He said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. How many knew that was one of the Ten Commandments? Anybody knew that was one of the Ten Commandments? You can no more ignore that commandment and live for Christ. It is impossible. All right, number 3. You got it? How many got number 3? You can have this living water. You can have this living water. All right, let's go to number 4. Let's go to number 4. I love this. This is wonderful to me. God, since I gave Him my life, since I brought me to the altar, He already had done this, but I know nothing of it. But when I brought me to the altar, He put me in a course called predestination. Say that word, everybody. Say it out loud. What does that mean? God has planned my future for Him. God has planned my life in advance. He has predestinated me according to the image of His own Son and for His own purpose, and God has a plan for me. Now that is big, and you can miss it real easy. Most people in the church, they just think that they've got to decide and that it all is in their hands and the future is bleak, or the future is troublesome, or the future is dark. Listen, I lost my sweetheart wife 2 years ago, but it didn't make me ever doubt that I was predestinated for the plan and the glory of God. And God's already got my future written out in prophetic script. Hallelujah. And as long as I trust Him, I'm in His care and He's going to take care of me. Predestinated to the image of His Son. Now that is powerful stuff. It's in the Bible. Let me take you to it. I read it in my text, Romans chapter 8. I want to make sure you get it, because it is something that most of the church world has no consciousness of. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Listen to that. Whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed. My future is in His hands. You say somebody's trying to kill you. Well, let them try. They got to get past God before they can kill me. I just dare them to try to get past my angels. I've had them try. But they get stopped every time. A certain person who attended our church called me a fox some time ago in his sermon. Well, I understand. I can understand why somebody thought that. Because God sees me through every battle and helps me around every bend in the road, and everything that occurs and everything that happens that seems unreal and out of shape and out of necessity, God knows in the beginning, and He's predestinated me and you, Joe Fariz, and you, Brother Marlon Clark, and you, Laverne, and nobody in this building, but God has a plan for your life if you belong to Him, and He'll help you step by step and keep you on track. That's a benefit. Brother Chambers, what's going to happen to you in a year from now? Why should I worry? I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. Come on, say that with me, will you? Come on, everybody in the building ought to say that one with me. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. I'll never forget that song as long as I live. The dear lady that sung that has been long ago with Jesus from an accident. They were pastoring in Albemarle, Church of God there. Got killed in an accident. But Sister Harp sung that old song. I don't know. And I remember Sister Chambers and I was at their church. They pastored in Greensboro, North Carolina, before we ever pastored or preached. We were still just a young couple married. And she was pregnant with Terry. Pregnant with our first child, and she sung that song that night, and I'll never forget it. It set the course of my life. I have been predestinated according to the image of His Son, and whatever happens in the future, God already has it written in His prophetic catalog, and it's going to be right on time and right down the path every time when you trust only in the Lord. Now throw your hand up and say, I'm not going to trust in nobody but God. Woo! Is this okay? Sister Gloria, you've been predestinated. Did you know that? God has a plan for your life, little lady. Brother Bob, God finally got you on track, didn't He? Took Him a long time. Great day. I worked with Him 40 years before He came to Jesus. Hallelujah. 10 years before He came to Jesus. Hallelujah. But now He's on track. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. This word is powerful. I wish you'd write it down in your Bible. Or just go to Romans chapter 8, verse 29. 8:29. He's predestinated you according to the image of His Son. Is that a benefit or not? How many can say that's a good benefit? Let me see how many of you, you're glad to trust your future with God. Are you glad, Sister Hope? Hallelujah. You know why He brought you here, don't you? Because He had you already predestinated. He had the plan laid out for you. Hallelujah. And thank God He brought it all to pass. Same, Brother Chuck. Oh, I'm telling you something, church. That's a benefit that most of this world don't even think about. How many people think about that they've been predestinated? And that God has your future laid out. Am I communicating with anybody? Is anybody here like this? How many of you like the idea that God has your future already planned for you? God has your future already planned for you. Now you make sure that you acknowledge Him every day. And you stay on course with Him. Don't you let yourself get off in your own pattern. Your own way. Your own thinking. You stay right on target with God. Right on track with God, right on track obeying God, living in the Word, living in prayer, coming to church faithfully, and you watch God. He'll never let you down. Well, I got to move on. I'm about to preach those things too long, but I'm telling you, God laid on my heart to bring you this morning. Now, number five. Did you know, blessed, blessed, blessed are those that trust in the Lord? Did you know that He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits? And the very next verse, you know what He says? Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Wait a minute. God, You don't heal all of our diseases. Are you doubting my word, son? Are you telling me I didn't know what I was saying? God says, who healeth all thy diseases. Can I tell you something? The Bible said there's a time to be born and a time to die. All during the winter, those 3 months, people thought I was going to die. I had people who kept coming to me and saying, are you sure you're all right? Sometimes they wanted me to live, and some said it who didn't want me to live. Yeah, you say you don't believe. I don't believe that. Well, I do. I know that. But I'm here to tell you something, friend. He heals all our diseases if we trust in Him, if we depend on Him, if we rely on Him. You say, I got this, I got that wrong. Well, learn to trust God. Tell Sister Carmen, now God wants to heal Angel. God wants that young man healed. But he's got to give himself to God, or she may get him healed and him have a chance to give himself to God. But either case, sin not, lest a worse thing come upon you. You remember Jesus saying that? So, who healeth all thy diseases. Sister Hope, you don't have to worry about that cancer they took out. You're healed in the name of Jesus. You know that? You know that. How many of you have been healed? Let me see your hand. Have you been healed? Thank God he's healed Marlon. Marlon is a mechanic, and a mechanic can get in some bad situations, and he's done some dumb things to his body. And every time Jesus brings him through and heals him, he just trusts God. He just, you can trust God. You can trust God. Do you hear me? Listen, you can trust God. Is anybody hearing that? You can trust God. You can trust him as sure as my name is Joseph. He's yearning to give you whatever miracle you need. He's that faithful. Number six, notice now. He will protect me from all the enemies that bring anger and torment against me. He will keep me in the midst of my enemies. And he will every time take care of my enemies for me. I don't need to fight back. I cannot fight back. It is wrong when I take things in my own hands. It is wrong when you try to avenge yourself. It is wrong when you seek vengeance against everybody or anybody. It is wrong when you try to take care of the things that unjustly has appeared or has overtaken or come against you. It's wrong. You don't need to. He doesn't want you to. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. But I love the words of Jesus when he said, shall not the Lord avenge his elect that cry day and night unto him. You go in your Bible to St. Luke chapter 18, and you'll find those words coming right out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He deals with this woman who went to an unjust judge, and he would not avenge her until she worried him to death. And finally he avenged her. And then the Bible said, Jesus speaking these very words from his lips, he said, shall not the Lord avenge his elect that cry day and night unto him. Put all that vengeance in the hands of God. Don't you try to do it. Don't you touch it. Don't you get angry with nobody. Don't you carry malice around about some unfair thing. Turn it over to God. Turn it over to God. He will avenge his elect. That's a benefit you have. It's yours, Sister Dolores. It's yours. It's yours, Brother Don. It's yours, Brother Robert. Don't seek vengeance. If you live in this world, somebody is not going to like you. And somebody is going to get bothered at you. And somebody may try to attack you. And somebody may tell garbage on you. I mean, terrible stuff. I've had some horrible things told on me. But they never stuck. Because my God always avenges my adversaries. Think about that. Come on, think about that. Think about God avenging the adversaries of every believer. How many of you know you're saved and elected to be saved? Raise your hand. You know it. You know it without a question. Then turn all your difficulties over to God. Now, one more benefit this morning. One more benefit. I love this one. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I don't preach on some of these great texts in the Bible. I like to get a chance once in a while to get into something that really is rich. Really is rich. And this one really is rich to me. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. Listen to that. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Hallelujah. The dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. Now when you get home, read that. 1 Corinthians 15. I read verse 51. But there's a number of verses there you might want to read. I'm here to tell you, Not only has he saved me, not only has he broke all the addictions I had, not only has he filled me with the Holy Spirit, not only has he healed my body when I was sick. I've had cancer. I've had a heart attack. I've had gallbladder attacked. And I've had attacks that I don't know what they were because I didn't go to no doctor to find out. And every time he's healed me. And this morning, I'm healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's my healer. He's my healer. And then he's the one who always avenges me of my adversaries. They might get pretty close, but not close enough to stop me. Hallelujah. Close, but not close enough to stop me. But the last of all of these is in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trumpet's going to sound. The Lord Jesus is going to split the skies wide open and descend in the majesty of his person and rapture. Every born again, blood washed, godly, Holy Ghost filled, saint of the living God. And we're going to escape this corruptible world and move into a world that's incorruptible. Somebody shout hallelujah. I haven't been hearing you this morning, Brother Jose. Can you say hallelujah real loud? Oh, that's not loud. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say it loud. Oh, I love that word, hallelujah. Oh, church, 7 benefits that I've told you about. These are bedrock things. There's many, many more. But I've given you the bedrocks. These are the solid ones. One, he wants to clean your conscience until nothing is up there. He wants to break your addictions until you're bound to nothing and nobody and no medicine and no drug and nothing of life. He wants you free. Then he wants to fill you with the living water called the Holy Spirit, the mighty person of the Holy Ghost. Then he wants to heal your body and make you the recipient of his healing virtue. He wants to let you walk with him and live with him and love him and enjoy him. He is just that wonderful. Hallelujah. Then he's put you on a plan of a predestination that he's got your future in his hands. You're not responsible for tomorrow. You're just responsible to be obedient day by day, and he'll guide you all the way. And then he wants to revenge you of every adversary, and then he wants to come get you. Well, think about that. Anybody that can have those 8 benefits, and at the end of all of it, he says, I'll come get you and take you to Mount Rim, and we'll move out of here and move up there. Anybody want to go? Anybody want to live this day by day, the rest of your days? Would you stand with me? Would you stand, please? I've given you these benefits, and I want you to have them. I want them to become part of you. I don't want you to accept nothing. Do you realize how many people in the church that live far beneath? Reverend Chambers, you didn't do that, did you? You did. 12:18. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I'm glad I preached everything I preached. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Woo! You know, this life is just wonderful. It's just wonderful. I love being a Christian. I love being a Christian, Brother Chuck. I love living in all of this. I'm rich. The Longfellas and the Rockefellers, they don't know nothing about rich. I know what rich is. Woo, somebody shout hallelujah. I know what being rich is. I know what being rich is. It's not being a man that owns the bank. It's being a man that owns the promise of the Lord and lives in those promises. Give the Lord a hand. I like that, Sister Lois. Give the Lord a big hand. What a life. We've got it. It's ours. So give your all to God, would you? Give your all to God. Man, I've enjoyed preaching. Great day. Woo! Hallelujah. I preach as good to a small crowd as I can a big crowd. Did you know that? I don't let the crowd bother me. I really don't. I'm going to preach this word. with all I got until what I've really got comes and gets me and takes me home.
He was no longer in that grave. And if you knew him like I know him, you would know that he's alive. And if you felt him like I feel him, resurrection deep inside, you'd know he's living and death has died. And if you're wandering in the darkness, come and step into the light. His nail-scarred hands reach out to help you, to pull you safe from death to life. Friend, I too have stood where you stand. Could I trust in things unseen?
Hallelujah.
Just one step in his direction.
Hallelujah.
And then in love he ran to me. If you knew him like I know died. Now if you're wandering in the darkness, come and step into the light. And nail-scarred hands reach out to help you, to pull you safe from death to life. And friend, I too have stood where you stand. Could I trust in things unseen? Oh, but just one step in his direction, and then in love he ran to me. Like I know him, you would know that he's alive. And if you felt him like I feel him, resurrection deep inside, you know he's living and death has died. I know him.
Hallelujah.
You would know that he's alive. And if you felt him just like I feel him,
would you stand? Body sing that chorus again, please. Everybody.
Deep inside, you know he's living.
Yes,
and death has died. Like I know him, you would know that he's alive. And if you felt him, oh, just like I feel him, resurrection inside.